So my name's Matthew. I'm the lead pastor here. I want to welcome everybody. Thank you for being here. If you're new, we are really glad to have you and hope you feel very at home. Would love to get to know you a little bit. So you can, if you probably got a flyer when you came in this morning. On the inside back page there, you'll see some information you can fill out and you can tear that off. And there's different baskets and wooden towers and things around. Drop it in any one of those and we'll add you to our mailing list and catch up with you. Or just text as Steve. Actually, I shouldn't have said it was Steve. You didn't realize that was Steve Mather at the beginning of the service, probably. So I've just blown his cover now. But anyway, you could text us and with that information too. Right after the service, in that back corner there, we'll have something called Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes, and would love to meet you. So if you want, if you've got questions or want to come along and find out a little bit more. But that, by the way, isn't just for new people. I mean, it's especially for new people, of course. But anybody who's part of this community can come along to that and ask a question. Or just find out a little bit more information. So if you're trying to get more connected here, that's a great thing to come to. Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes. Okay, today's a holiday weekend, and traditionally on these times, we kind of come together, you know, all ages, and we have a slightly different service, and we're particularly going to focus on being a family together, or being a community together in the context of worship. This is the last of a series we're in at the moment on about worship. It's called When Words Are Not Enough. And it's been a short series. The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at what it means to be a worshiping community. We looked at week one, we kind of looked back, through centuries to some of the early followers of Jesus, the early churches, and how they worshipped. And we looked at some of the different sort of creedal hymns that we find in the scriptures and used those as cues to what worship might have been like then. And then last week, we kind of jumped head into the present and we talked about some of the challenges that we face, or maybe even some of the struggles we have with worship in the 21st century. Because, you know, one of the points we talked about last week was how ancient people tended to have very hierarchical views of the universe, right? So, for instance, you know, kings and queens were worshipped or highly respected. I know that's not true, in America. You guys didn't really have much respect for kings and queens, but many cultures around the world did. it's not like more modern countries like the USA don't have their hierarchies, right? And certainly in ancient times, there was worship of people, and certainly veneration of people, and homage was paid to leaders, partly because, and maybe significantly because, those leaders could cause you damage. They could harm you. They could withdraw benefits or add in a few non-benefits if you didn't toe the line. And sometimes it can maybe feel like we kind of project that onto God. Like, one of the reasons we worship is because we want to keep God on our side. If we do things right and if we say the nice things to God, God will treat us kindly, fairly, and life will go according to plan. Doesn't actually work out like that anyway. Even if, you know, I think most people would say, even if you have that view, life doesn't always work out the way you want it to. But we talked about perhaps a different way of looking at worship and a different way of looking at this fear of the Lord, this fear of God. It's not fear as in, oh my gosh, we better do the right thing, but just being caught up in the awe and amazing nature of the universe and God as God of everything. And we looked at a few, perhaps new, not necessarily new, but helpful ways to look at worship. We've got those bullets up there again. We talked about worship as a celebration and surrender to God is love. Like, God is not this hierarchy bearing down on us, but God is part of us. God is on this level with us. And we looked at some scriptures and some worship songs that even kind of embody that we worship because we're turning this hierarchical order upside down. Turns out that God is with us, loves us, is on the side of the poor and on the side of the broken, on the side of those who don't feel much in life. Perhaps people like you and me, you know, people who don't always feel that we're on top of life. It's a celebration of and the surrender to oneness, this sense of, I mean, you could think about that in perhaps a couple of ways. We think of God in personal ways. You know, we use pronouns like you, right? We say, we don't always think of God, though, as just a person. We think of God as kind of in everything and more perhaps like a force. We can think of God and worship God as we're one with that force, that presence of God is within us and around us, and we see that in nature. And that's an amazing thing. Nothing can separate us from that. Nothing can separate us from that love. But also, if we think about God in more personal terms, God is loving Father. God is a loving parent, a loving mother. God is friend. God is counselor, companion. And loves us and accepts us. And so when we worship, we're celebrating that oneness. Worship is a celebration and surrender to community. The fact that we come together as very different people to love and worship God means that we're all giving and taking a little bit, right? So, you know, when younger people are in a part of this, that changes things a little bit for older people. When we sing different styles and take different approaches to worship, we're all giving and taking, but that's a celebration of the diverse humanity that we represent. And then a celebration and surrender to transformation. In other words, we all recognize in coming to worship that we need a change. And so in one sense, we're coming to be honest and real and not hide away and not pretend and not fake it and say, we need a change. Things about me need to change. I need a change from the inside out. But I also need to be not only change from the inside, but in the outworking, the way I live my life needs to change, because there's injustice all around us. There's things that aren't right with the world, and we're called to love and bring a different kind of world about, right? And that's what our vision is about. It's imagining a different kind of world. So all of these are ways we can look at worship. What we're going to do to explore that a little bit further, and particularly home in on what it means to be a community together in worship, I'm going to invite several people to come up, and we're going to have a little panel discussion, and people are going to share from their own perspective. Some of those people will be familiar to you because they help lead worship. Some will not be so familiar. But I'm going to invite those people to come up now, and let's give them a warm welcome as they come up. Keep applauding, because they're not up here yet. Thanks, guys. There's nothing worse than that long walk across the creaky stage with the crickets chirping around. So thank you so much, guys, for being here. Maybe we could just sort of go down the line and introduce ourselves to start off with, and maybe just share just really quickly, you know, what you do here, and then we'll get going with some questions.
I'm Brian Markley. I lead some worship here and work in the farm team and have a great discipleship group.
By the way, let me say, Brian was out working on the farm yesterday. I meant to mention that. We thank you to everybody that came out on the farm, because we had an amazing day. And that was an act of worship, especially out in that heat and humidity yesterday. But we got so many things planted. It was a wonderful day. So thank you, everybody, for being out there.
I'm Rachel. I sing with the praise team once in a while, and I also sing with the kids in Sunday school, the Cedar Ridge kids, and we also have a wonderful small group that meets.
Hi, my name is Paige. I don't do as much as this amazing person, but I'm a youth representative here.
Hi, my name is Kevin Richardson. I've been a member here since 1998, and I just finished 5 years spent on the board and loved every moment of it and enjoyed it.
Miss you on the board, Kevin. So thank you so much for being with us. So we just want to have a conversation really around a couple of issues. Like, one is we've been talking about worship for a couple of weeks. So, you know, what do you make of worship? We've talked about some of the beautiful things about worship, some of the struggles with worship, and so it'd be really interesting to hear your perspectives on that. But we also want to hear a little bit more about, you know, what does it mean to be this community together, you know, and embracing diversity both in terms of age and, you know, learning styles and expression styles and all that kind of stuff. Brian, maybe you can just start us off there. Like, you're a worship leader, right? So that's a slightly different perspective that you're coming from. I mean, you sit out there frequently, but you're also often up here. Tell us a little bit about your experience with worship.
Well, I love the worship leading. It's enjoyable. I like that we, as a team of people trying to lead worship, that we're trying to make it more of a participation, kind of a joint thing, that it's not us up here and people down there, but getting people to sing along with us. In planning, there's a couple challenges. One is in making the quality of the content of the songs to really bring it consistent with what our vision is, and also to deal with what Matthew said about that we have a pretty diverse group of people here, different ages and things, and it's a little bit of a challenge to think about how do we do things that are meaningful for, you know, a whole range of different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a challenge you face week in, week out, but you're clearly trying to address that and put a lot of work into that. I mentioned last week, actually, one of the things we're doing is trying to sing more songs that kind of connect with our story here at Cedar Ridge. And some of that has meant having to write songs. I mean, not having to, but nobody's forced to. But the worship leaders have been writing some of their own songs. And we sang one of Brian's songs this morning, which I think is a beautiful song, that last one. So I just want to thank you for doing that. And that's a very vulnerable thing, I think, to bring that kind of thing to a community, right?
So yeah, it doesn't stink, so that's good.
Yeah. Let's just move along here a little bit to Rachel. So, you know, same kind of question for you, Rachel. How does worship work for you? And, you know, you also come from a background, an education background, right? So, mm-hmm. And are familiar with different learning styles and ways mm-hmm. of processing information, different ways we process information.
Yeah,
how does that factor in?
Music has always been a main way I worship and yeah. find God to be really accessible and present with
yeah.
me. Nature also is a way that I find myself, even if I'm feeling really distant from God, being in nature can help me feel close to Him and I can feel His mm-hmm. presence. And it does make me think about, in education, we talk about the multiple intelligences and that theory that people are intelligent and with many different modalities. And I think it's important that when we find our own worship path, that we think about what our own modality might be.
I mean, share some of those with us. Can you just, how does that work?
Yeah, I think there's 9 at the moment. It's Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. So
yeah.
the ones that school tends to really hit on are the verbal and the logic, math mm-hmm. type modalities. But there is nature, and there's interpersonal and intrapersonal. There's kinesthetic.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that in worship we find these ways to be tactile and to use music and, but also serving. You know, you talked about
yeah.
being on the farm yesterday. I think that's a perfect example of
yeah.
kinesthetic learners getting out there and really worshiping through movement.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that struck me through this series actually is that I think we're trying to open up a broader definition of what worship is, right? It's not just stood in church on a Sunday morning singing certain songs, and you know, most churches do that in different styles, but it's our whole lives. But that probably means that we're all worshiping way more than we would give ourselves credit for, right? I mean, we tend to mm-hmm. maybe think, because of some of the struggles with singing and
right,
now,
and I think that's what happens with students in school too. They've defined themselves, they think smart is only defined in a couple
yeah.
of ways, and if that's not their thing, they must not be smart. And I did think of that as an analogy to worship, that
yeah.
we might think, oh, I'm not really into worship if music isn't our language or what we feel comfortable doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, to have the artwork out there is great, because that can be a means of expression visually.
And, yeah. Yeah. Just as a matter of interest, I'm you know, this is probably a little unfair, but I'm going to put the question out there to you guys. Like, does singing, for whom does singing absolutely make sense for worship? I mean, for whom is singing easy? Do you want to just put your hand up there? Okay. So, you know, there's a fair few people there without their hands up, right? And that may be a sort of reflection of Monday realities. We don't tend to do community singing as much, but it's also probably a reflection of this different preference. Let me say, it's okay, right? You know, we're obviously, when we're up here with songs, there's a part of what we're doing is trying to encourage people to sing, but it's that's not everybody's modality. So and that's okay. It's totally okay. Let's just move along a bit, because I know Paige, it'd be really interesting to hear just from somebody who's a little younger, who may not even have been born when Kevin became a member of the church. No, no. you probably weren't, actually. But no offense, Kevin, everybody. So from somebody from a younger perspective, maybe you could just share a little bit about that, and then I've got another question for you as well.
So for me, I really struggle with worship, mainly because or the traditional way of worshiping, which is coming here and singing and praying. And so I'm a very busy person. I enjoy being busy and doing multiple different activities. So I find myself struggling to actually come here or sit down and really reflect on what is worship. But I kind of had a little epiphany on Valentine's Day this year where I bought a bouquet of flowers, about 12 of them, and gave individual roses to people that meant a lot to me. So my good friends at school. And one of them, I came over to their house one day and I looked over, and this was maybe 2 weeks after, and that rose was sitting there in a vase looking perfectly healthy. And I asked, why are you taking care of it? I'm surprised you were able to. And they were like, well, you gave it to me. I'm going to appreciate the gift you gave me. So thinking back on that, when you talked about possibly talking on this panel, I thought about that moment and realized that the best way you can worship means to appreciate something, and to appreciate especially what God has given us. And so I think appreciating what he's given us is the best way to really worship. So what he's given us is not only everyone in this room, but also this whole entire world, but he's also given us ourselves. I think that taking care of yourself and really becoming the best person you can be is the best way to really appreciate what God has given us and to really worship what he's done for us. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my perspective on it.
Yeah, that's really cool. I have another question for you, but we'll come back to that. I just want to go to Kevin. Any thoughts on this, Kevin, what we're talking about?
Well, I like what Paige just said there, because there's different forms of worship. You know, a lot of times we talk about singing, and in this message that you've been giving, we talked about, you know, there's praise and thanksgiving, where you just praise and thank God for what he's done for you. But then also there's singing. And then if I'd be amiss if I didn't say, as a former board member, in our giving, and this community here is really generous to Cedar Ridge. And I like what Paige just said here, because I think at times in our lives, all of us, have that epiphany that she mentioned, or a moment in our life where a form of worship or a form of just growth in our life comes. When Matthew had asked me to talk, I was thinking of, you know, what are some of the times in worship where I felt, you know, God's present. And I know I was brought up in a church, and you know, I went to Baptist church when growing up, and then a non-denominational church. And often I see people raise their hands and praise God. And for whatever reason, I didn't do it, and had no excuse. No, there was nothing. I just didn't do it. And I just remember, I think it was back in 1993, way before Paige was born. I remember being in my cubicle at work, and a song came on. I had my headphones on, and it was an artist by the name of Kirk Franklin. He sung a song called "The Reason Why We Sing." And I'm one of those people that Matthew just said that can't sing, so I'm not going to try to sing it for you. But part of the words is, it says, the reason why we sing, it talks about, and of course the song is going like this. It says, we sing because we're happy, we sing because we're free. His eyes on the sparrow, that's the reason why we sing. And it says, it also goes on and saying, sometimes we're crying as we sing, and there's no real reason, and that we lift up our hands in the sanctuary. And I often think about that, because I actually sat there in my cubicle, raising my hands, crying, and I don't know why, but it was just one of those moments that the page was just talking about that just came over me. And I think from that moment on, I was not afraid to lift my hands in the church. And I remember last week, Lena was part of our worship team, and I saw on the end there, she was raising her hands, and praising God. And when she, at the end of the service, I came up to her and said, you know, I love the fact that you raised your hands and praised God. And she said, you know, 5 years ago, and I hope she's not here that she can tell me, I didn't get approval to tell her story, but she said, 5 years ago, I would not have done this. But she said, you know, as you get up in age, you get older, you just realized it's a relationship with God, and that's who you're praising, and that's who you're worshiping. Mm-hmm. And I hear with her. Yeah. That's why I do that, what I do.
That's cool. Yeah, I think probably most of us can relate to some moment, like that moment you just described, mm-hmm. a moment, maybe it's out in nature, maybe it's listening to music, looking at a piece of art, maybe it's an interaction or something, where, you know, the mystics talk about thin spaces, you know, like where it feels like that we come into direct contact almost with the presence of God, and it's hard to put that into words, it's hard to express that, but when it happens, you know it's happening, and it happens in all sorts of different contexts. I'm interested, coming back to Paige here, because of like I'm not a musician, but I love music, right? So music actually, and not just church music, which is really good, by the way. The church music is really good. But I love music, and I can be very moved by music. And there is something, I think, undoubtedly powerful about music. We talked about that a little bit last week, and Caroline actually shared a little bit about that. You are a musician, Paige, right? But you would also say that from a worship perspective, or that sort of transcendent perspective, music doesn't really do that much for you. So, I mean, just, you know, share a little bit about that.
Oh, you are right. I mean, so for me, I enjoy music because, yes, it does affect me and it does get to my heartstrings, but not in a worship standpoint or a religious standpoint. And at first, I always kind of hid that away. I was just like, oh, I kind of think I'm the only one that really doesn't connect with that, because I look around and I see so many people really getting into the music, and I'm just kind of in my chair like, okay. But then I kind of realized that, again, these past couple weeks have been really helpful in talking about everyone has a different type of worship. Just like in life, everyone does things differently and no one is the same. So I think it's really, I really do appreciate that no one in here is alone in their ways of worship, and we're open to new ideas of worshiping, which is something I really do appreciate.
That's cool. So I want to ask you again, Rachel, just you mentioned at the beginning there that you help out with Cedar Ridge Kids and helping younger people worship, right? And I'm interested, maybe share a little bit about how that's going, right? But also for us as a community, how can we become more of a integrated community with worship? Because it feels like there's different styles of worship that they're not necessarily diametrically opposed, but there are certain traditions that aren't always inclusive. How can we approach that?
I think what we did this morning was great, to choose some songs that the little ones recognize and they've been singing and feel comfortable. I looked out and it was so fun to see some of our Cedar Ridge kids singing every word along with that.
Yeah.
I know in my own life, I can't remember when I first started singing, but so much of the scripture that I have memorized, that's in my heart, is from a song that, mm-hmm. and you know, you store music in a different part of your brain that's a little
right.
more permanent.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to give them these words that can be comforting, and maybe come back to them at a time they least expect it, or
yeah.
that, you know, it's just... In fact, one of the CDs I used to listen to is Hide Him in Your Heart, and it is about just kind of this, these words that stay in your heart that might be encouraging to you later. So I like that they're learning songs that, you know, they'll sing later.
Yeah.
And could be of an encouragement. Yeah, in terms of hitting all styles, it's really hard. I mean, music is definitely, it's a taste, you know, and you can say I like this kind of music and this type of music, and for 22 years I've been a part of music ministries, and it's a struggle, you mm-hmm. know, to find that type of music that fits with everyone, which is why I think it's important to expand our definition of worship beyond the music and
yeah.
make sure that we offer many different ways for people to feel connected to God and feel his presence and show their appreciation and gratitude and worship mm-hmm. him in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Brian? That issue of I suppose dealing with the challenge of us all being very different. And
I would just say one of the things that I appreciate most about Cedar Ridge is that things are different. Things are kind of fresh and in the present. We do different kinds of activity within our gathering together. And I think that, for me, a challenge worshiping in the past has been when it's always just the same, that I have a tendency to just kind of, it loses some of the freshness for it.
Yeah.
And I especially love communion, taking communion and being together, because it's a kind of a kind of a one another type of activity.
Yeah.
For us to get together. And for me, part of worship is that is us as a group getting together, and someone needs some encouragement, and someone has something great that's happened, and the sharing amongst us is something that benefits us all.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Let's go back to Kevin. It sounds like you're singing. You said maybe you can't sing. I don't know.
Well, I really can, but you enjoy singing.
You enjoy music. What are some of the other? Because you've been at Cedar Ridge a long time, right? What are some of the other aspects of what we do that have worked for you? Like sort of move you and stir you.
In times past, we had a group called Act One, where we would act out the message before the service. That really was a great part.
And that felt like worship to you.
I felt like it's a part of worship. And also, many of the men's groups that we've had in the past was an act of worship and worship with men. And
so that would be relationship, right? Relationships then?
Yeah, relationships, exactly. And, you know, because I'm so glad that you also are doing a message on this, because you look at the word worship and the fact that it's mentioned in the Bible, I think, over 254 times. And so there's importance in the word that worship is. And I'm glad that you were able to talk about this. And I know there's a lot more of this message that we can go on and on about.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I think it's something that we're trying to grow in, right? I mean, I think because of the challenges of what does it look like for us now in the 21st century? What does it look like for us as a community, this kind of community? And I think one of the things that we're sort of wrestling with, it's a little bit like sitting down for a meal. You know, I grew up in a family of six, and my family has four kids. They've all left home. So you sit down for a meal, and the meal never pleases everybody. You know, so it could be a very great meal, but you know, somebody likes this, somebody likes that, and but that's okay. You know, but we all eat together. We're all coming to the table. We're all eating together. And I think one of the things, but it would be kind of wrong if we only ever ate what I like, right? You know, or what my wife Lisa likes. So that's the variety piece. I think what we're trying to do is open up as many opportunities, as many options as possible, because we know we all are so different. But at some point, that means any given week might not work for somebody, you know, and it might lend itself to somebody else. So I think that's the challenge for all of us. So, you know, someone like myself, who's more of a participant in worship, really, than a leader of worship, you guys are, you know, leading it in many respects. So, it's not just about what I'm getting out of it, but looking at it over the long term, what we are together as a community, knowing that, okay, this may not be working for me today, and that could be just because it's really bad. Right? No, that's a joke. It's like messages, right? You know, some people will just think that was an awful message, and somebody else thought it was fantastic. You know, and it's like, and also some people say, here's a little insight. Some people come up to me and say, you know, when you said that in a message, it really spoke to me. And I think, I never said that. I didn't actually say that. And that's because that was where they were at the time. They, yes. For whatever reason, they needed to hear it. And I think the same with worship, right? We all come we're not the same today as we were last week. We come in with a struggle during the week or something that we really want to celebrate, and next week we don't really feel like celebrating. So it's a really challenging thing that we're doing and that these guys are leading us in. So I think the encouragement to all of us is, let's grow in this, let's lean into it, let's recognize that there's something beautiful about us coming together as a community with all our diversity and leaning one way one week and another way another week. But let's even engage with the parts that aren't necessarily so up our street. You know, I think that's the challenge we can take away. Paige, last word, and then we'll transition to communion.
I just wanted to quickly say, you know, you were mentioning there's many different types of worship, and the fact is that when we run into different communities of anyone, there's always going to be, you know, someone different. Not everyone's going to want the same meal every single night. And I think it was really cool that today we got to see there's some coloring over there, there's some instruments, and not only just for the kids, but I think for everyone. Yeah. What I like about meeting new people and coming together with a big community is that you introduce new ideas. You know, there are some people here worship in a way that I would have never thought, and now I get to go home or I get to come here and try it, you know, and being here and seeing so many people get connected with music, music's, you know, warming up to me a little bit. So yeah. I think it's just really important that, yeah, I think it's just really cool that even though you may not worship in this way, you're going to find another way. You know, you're open to more ideas, which is why I think the community piece is really important.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, let's give these guys a round of applause. Thanks so much for sharing with us. Thank you. So we're going to welcome the kids back in. So the kids are going to come in. We're going to have communion together. I'm just going to stay up here. I feel very high up, a little bit afraid, actually. I don't like heights. I have to stay away from it. So we welcome the kids back in. They've been out, and they've been doing some things out on the property. Probably have some elements of nature that they're bringing in that are worshipful, and this is a time where we're going to, you know, if you've drawn something or made something of some activity a little bit earlier in the service, you can post them on these boards at the front as an expression of worship. Communion is a time where we come together, right? It's union with one another. It's union with God. We're remembering God. So it's just this wonderful opportunity to open up our hearts and say, just say simply, God, I want more. I want more connection, more of this oneness with you. And we do it together. We're saying that there's something about divinity. There's something about this divine life that is found in togetherness, found in, it's not in isolation. Solitude is an important part of our practice, but it's our relationships, it's our connections in which we are more fully human. And we're celebrating that this morning. So we have traditional bread and wine, which is, in our case, gluten-free crackers and grape juice, at the front here and in the middle, where we can serve one another. And then there will be people at the doors either side that are going to serve you. So they'll be stood there. You can go up and be served. It's also a time where you can write out prayer requests. There's places you at the, just towards the back under that banner, Grow and Journey. You can write a prayer request out. We'll pray for you during the week. We'll also have people at the back on that side of the room. If you'd like to talk with a live person and have that person pray with you about something that is just weighing on you at the moment, we'd love to do that. So please don't hesitate. It's a time where we can give. Kevin mentioned, you know, giving as an act of worship. I did not set that up. Let me tell you, he did, you know, he that was spontaneous from Kevin. But you know, that is an expression of worship. And so there's a little receptacle over here where you can put offerings, and also at the sides too. And so, in general, we're going to open our hearts to God. So I'm going to pray, and then please come forward. The band will lead us in a couple of songs as well. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for the fact that you are not here to intimidate us. You're not here to force us into action, but you invite us into a new life, into something beautiful, something life-changing and life-giving. And so we just want to say yes this morning and take this very simple step, this very traditional, ritualistic step that is simply an expression of our saying yes to you. So come and be present with us, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So please come forward and take the